Tony Broom Ministries presents the following message from the book of Acts. The title is, What Shall We Do to These Men? Thinking about the book of Acts, Jesus had just risen from the dead. And the disciples were happy about the resurrection. Christ had appeared to them several times after his resurrection, and assuring them that everything was going to be all right. And just the time they got real sad, there he was again. Peace be to you. And he would always show up. And he would always appear to them just when they needed him. And that's what he did this morning. He shows up and appears and manifests himself to us just when we need him. He's always with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But he doesn't manifest himself in that way all the time. Sometimes when God's people get together, or even when we're by ourselves, we start talking about him and thinking about him and praising him, and all of a sudden he manifests himself. That doesn't happen all the time, but it'll happen whenever you want it to happen. All you've got to do is just put your gear in first gear. First gear is usually out here. Second gear, third gear, and fourth gear. And by the time you get in fourth gear, you're moving and grooving for Jesus. Well, he ascended, went back to heaven. They could have said, this is it. He's gone. He's not coming back. Like Jimmy Mack, not coming back. Just give up. No, the angel said, the same way he left, he'll come back again. So they were excited about the Lord. They could have quit. Jesus didn't say quit. He said, go out. Spread the gospel to the world. And we're here today because they didn't give up. They were like Balbano, never give up, never give up. They kept on until their journey was through. They kept on going. So they were excited about the Lord. People started getting saved. People started getting healed. And the religious leaders got upset about it. They called the council together. Acts chapter 4, verse 15. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? That question is the subject of the message. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We cannot deny the things that are going on. But we've got to stop them because we don't want all this attention to be drawn to them. The attention was not to be drawn to them. It was drawn to Christ. That was the real fever. They couldn't understand why this man who was supposed to have died and did die, they saw him die, and now they're saying that he's doing all these miracles. They're saying that he's alive. This upset the religious people. They couldn't handle it. That's the question now. What do we do with these Christians? What do we do with this doctrine? What do we do with this upsetting the system the way that we like it? The heathen world has always been annoyed and bothered with the issue as to what to do with the Christians. In the second psalm, which is part of the prayer of the apostles in the early church in Acts chapter 4, David says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? If you don't think the heathen are raging and the people are imagining vain things, then I don't know where you are, because if you're living in the day in which we're living, you know that the people are imagining vain things. You can go to sleep and one tally says one thing is one way, and you can get up and it's another way, and somebody been doing something during the night they ain't got no business doing. They're imagining vain things. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers set themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed one, the Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want anybody tying us down. We don't want any laws to keep us from doing what we want to do. The idea is if we can just get rid of those Jesus people, then we can be free to do whatever we want without having any consequences to face.
There you go.
So that's what they want to do. They just want to get rid of the Christians. Cast away their cords from us. Cast away all reasoning. We don't want any accountability. We don't want any law to keep us from marrying who we want to marry, whether it's the same sex or not, whether it's to killing our unborn children. We don't want any law against that. And Christians are against it, so the only way we can do is just do away with the Christians. What can we do and what shall we do to these men? If there's really nothing to this thing, though, if the Bible is nothing, if Christianity is nothing, if there is no God, Jesus is just a man, he's not really a Messiah, he's just a teacher, what's the big deal anyway? If Christianity is not a threat, if it's not real, then what's the big deal? After all, what do Christians do that are so bad? What's so bad about Christianity? You tolerate Muslim, you tolerate the Hindu religion, you tolerate all these other Eastern religions, you tolerate people who don't even say they have a religion. What's so bad about Christianity? If Christianity is not real, then it's nothing to it, no big deal. Many people had gotten saved in Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. People got excited, people started getting saved. The man who was lame from birth was healed in Acts chapter 3. Born again people, you think about it, they're better to their families. Born again people are better to their families, and I know there are some stinkers, but in general, born again people are better to their families than other people are. They're honest in their business dealings. Why would you not want more Christians? Why would you not want more born again people? You have better people in society, better to their families, better in their business dealings. Amen. They make better employees. Amen. Who wouldn't want a better employee? Get you some born again people that do you a better job. They're less of a menace or threat to society. Christian people, born again people, usually more apt to pay their bills and taxes. They pray for their military and law enforcement instead of causing them trouble. They're more likely to provide for their own and help take care of others. Instead of getting rid of the Christians, do you think just perhaps that our world would be a lot better off with more of them?
Amen.
What about the advice of this man called Gamaliel? He's in Acts chapter 5. The threats still keep coming on against the Christians. Then stood up a man, one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. His name means God is my recompense. He was a doctor of the law and had a reputation among all the people. He was even a teacher of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. In other words, he sat at his feet and he heard the strict teachings of the law. And he learned all that Judaism, that religion, under the teaching, under the feet of Gamaliel. He commanded them to put the apostles forth a little space and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What ye intend to do is touching these men. In other words, you better watch out what you intend to do. Sometimes when you make a decision that you don't know what you're doing, it comes back to bite you in the Honolulu.
Amen.
So he said, you better watch out. Take heed to yourselves what you intend to do to these men. Then he gives a couple of examples. Before these days rose up Thutis. His name means God-given. He thought he was God's given. Some people do. They think they're God's gift to society. A lot of men like that. They think they're God's gift to society. Handsome, dashing, debonairing, prancing, vixen, comet, cupid, and all that, and put together, they think they're everything. All them women gonna make me stupid bow. They're like Johnny Cash going to Jackson. They think everybody just loves them. They just God's gift to society. That was him, God given. Boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas, it's taken from Judah, meaning praise, the Old Testament. Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing. Now, this taxing was first made, you know, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All the world should be taxed. Every man went to his own city. This is the taxing it's talking about. Not only was Christ born, but this guy, Judas, was out there too. and he drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. Both of these men that he was talking about were revolters against the Roman government. They were troublemakers, causing trouble. And these men were able to get disciples after them. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. The question is, what shall we do to these men? A good thing to do is just let them alone. If you don't like Christians, if you don't want to be a Christian, I hope that everyone becomes a Christian. But if you don't want to be a Christian, at least quit bothering those who are. Amen. At least quit causing trouble to those who are. Amen. If you don't want to be one, like Pop says, that's your bizwax. It's your business. That's your bizwax. If you don't want to be one, that's your business. But don't bother those who are. Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. If this work, this church, any church, the church itself, Jesus said, I'll build my church on this rock. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. If this church is of men, it will come to nothing. If the work is of men, if the ministry is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it.
Amen.
Lest haply you be found to fight even against God. And nobody fights against God and wins. Everybody who fights against God loses.
Amen.
You've already lost before you fired the first shot. You fight against God. Here's the reaction of the council, verse 40. To him they agreed. You have that on your paper. See that around? They agreed. They agreed with what he said. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, hello, something went wrong. I thought they agreed with what he said. I don't want nobody to agree that way. I agree you ought to treat Broom right. All right, let's beat him. They agreed, and then when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I don't like that kind of reaction. They agreed, yes, we ought to leave them alone. We shouldn't do anything to them. And the very next moment, they turn right around, call them out, and have them beaten. That's the fickle way that people are doing now.
Amen.
They don't have a backbone to stand up for what's right.
Right.
They'll hear what somebody says, yeah, that's right. And then somebody else says something, yeah, that's right. They don't know what's right.
Amen.
They are so deluded in their brain, in the way of thinking. The adversary, the enemy, has done got a hold of them so long, they don't know what's right or wrong anymore.
Amen.
They have no sense of reasoning to know what's right and wrong.
Right.
They agree, well, yeah, we should leave these men alone. And the very next breath, they call them out, have them beaten. Here's the response of the apostles, verses 41 and 42. They departed from the presence of the council, saying, I knew it was going to turn out this way. Jesus should have told us it's going to be this bad. I'm going home to mama. I'm not going to do anything anymore. I'm quitting. Something doesn't go right in the ministry you have in church. Somebody don't show up the way you think they ought to. You don't have a great big crowd. Somebody says something wrong. One little thing goes wrong, I quit. That's not the way the apostles did. They departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. God help us if we don't have half that attitude in us. Now the Holy Spirit in our life to cause us, when we're mistreated and misused, that we would do like the apostles, that we would rejoice instead of bellyaching and complaining and blaming God and wanting to quit on God, that they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Sometimes you ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
And it's not for causing trouble and making a march and doing all that. It's just simply for doing what's right. They could not afford to cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They had to continue because that was the mandate. That, you want a mandate? That's the one. The Great Commission. That's the commandment. The warning of Paul, still in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Preacher, a true preacher, will take heed to the flock. and feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. To feed the church, not bleed the church, but feed the church. Take heed to yourselves. This is a warning of the Apostle Paul. What shall we do to these men? Everybody does not have your best interests at heart. You don't go into the political world trying to make everybody like you because you're a Christian and try to make everybody like the church. They're not going to like the church. They're not going to like the Christian because we're opposed, we're opposite to what they stand for. You cannot go out there and try to friendly evangelize people without a change of heart. The gospel will change the heart and life. But you don't do it by ecumenical movements. You don't do it by smoothing over and making everything politically.
Right.
Praying to this monotheistic God who fills all people and don't offend anybody. At the end of the prayer, he says amen and a woman so that he would not offend anybody. Somebody that's stupid and fickle in the head.
Amen.
They may be called on to pray before Congress or before session, but it's going to end up about as stupid as it is started out because you don't have the blessing of God on it.
Amen.
Take heed to yourselves and to the flock. It's the flock, the sheep, that's what's important. It's not a preacher game. It's not a preacher name. Take heed to the flock. It's the flock that God sends us out to feed the flock, and he himself is the shepherd of the flock. All who came before me, he said, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep would not hear them. My sheep hear me, they know my voice, and I take care of them. They follow me. And you and I, as ministers and as Christians, we're to have the same care for the flock, the same care for each other. If I don't care for you and you don't care for me, we're hurting each other. We're hurting the flock.
Amen.
And we're causing degradation to the name of Christ. Take heed to yourselves, to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The church is not just a passing thing. Take it or leave it. I can come and I can go. No, this thing was purchased with the blood of God.
Amen.
God purchased the church with his own blood. For I know this, says the apostle, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There are some people, even preachers, they have rib on their name, but they don't care 2 cents about the flock.
Right.
They only care about their agenda.
Right. Amen.
Pretty boy.
Yeah.
Pretty boy. Hot stuff in the pulpit.
Yeah,
he can do good as long as he's got a big crowd.
Yeah.
You let the pressure be on, then he's gone. That's not the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
These wolves will enter in among you. They don't care about the flock.
Amen.
They're called hirelings instead of shepherds.
Yeah.
Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them.
Uh-huh.
There are many crowd and people pleasers. Have big crowds after them. By the way, send me $1,000. I don't know why this $1,000. Everybody's stuck on that amount. Send me $1,000 and it'll help pay your debts. No, you'll be $1,000 more in debt. Send me $1,000. It don't matter whether they ask for it in church or they ask for it on Facebook. If you send me $1,000, I'll do my hair a certain way. Where's your hair? Oh, my wife wouldn't let me do that. Oh, man, well, that $1,000, it tastes good on that filet mignon. You know, that filet mignon, it tastes good at $1,000. He said, watch out. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The Apostle Paul was in this thing to stay. This thing meant something to him. It caused him tears. He cried and he preached and he did everything that he could, writing 14 books of the New Testament to try to get us to conform to the image of Christ. And that's what he talked about in most of his ministry. To try to get the body of Christ to conform to the image of Christ. The danger of the apostate, those who would fall out and be against God, end up being against God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. They won't teach the right thing. They won't teach the same thing. They'll teach subtly different. It sounds good to start with, but they'll get in there with their, and it calls it here, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, that is about as strong as language as you can use in the Bible, even to the point of denying the Lord who bought them. They will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious and ungodly ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It will give a lot of teeth to the world to say, aha, I told you there wasn't nothing to it. And they'll say that because of the way that so-called Christians are acting. Those who will draw away disciples after them. Those who will go in their own ungodly ways, teaching doctrines that are not right. They'll say that you can be saved, and then they'll say, come on, get the Holy Ghost. Ain't no talk about sanctification, living a holy life. You can't jump over hoops and get into the kingdom of God. You got to go in the right way.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
In Jude, only has one chapter, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. That's the kind of people we're talking about. Their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Rebitis, that's a disease. Preacher pleasers. Diesel sniffers. Who's ever singing this week? That's where I want to go. They don't have any roots in themselves. They don't want to be tied down to a certain church. They are, the answer of my friend is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind, and that's like them. They're always blowing in the wind. They're not doctrinally stable and doctrinally sound. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
Amen.
And we're to teach and preach sound doctrine.
Amen.
Doctrine would not do what Paul told Timothy about, that would subvert and turn upside down whole houses, teaching things that they ought not to. And people will do it, because if they see that it pleases people, and they start getting offerings, it will dissuade them from preaching the truth and telling it like it is. If you can be persuaded to tell it like it is not, and like you would want it to be to please people, just because of a big offering, then people can buy you out. They can buy you out. People have been bought out by a bottle of liquor, they've been bought out by drugs, they've been bought out by all kind of things. Judas was bought out with 30 pieces of silver. He ended up throwing that back in the temple, being condemned in himself, and went out and hung himself. That's what it'll do to you. They have men's persons in admiration. They like this certain preacher. They don't like that kind of teacher. And it begins to be a personality thing instead of the message. It's the message that we're teaching. It's not whether you like a certain person or not. Not even whether you like a certain style of preaching. All of us like slobber, get down, Holy Ghost. But you can say anything in that style. Mary went uptown, and she went to Belk's, and they didn't have a sale, so she went to Rose's. Or you can say anything in that voice, but I'd rather have somebody to stand flat-footed and say, Jesus Christ is the only way to God.
Amen.
He may not raise his voice much, but he's got power when he says something. Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is called the apostolic doctrine. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread from house to house, and it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When you continue in the things that's right, it's going to result in that which is right. How that they told you that there should be in the last days mockers in these last days who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They told you about these. These be they who separate themselves. They're not separated by the Holy Spirit or unto God. They separate themselves. They are goody two-shoes. Diva crowd. They separate themselves, sensual, They're about sensuality, not spirituality. There's a big difference, by the way. Having not the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His.
That's right.
Jesus said that. Paul said that. He who has not the Spirit of Christ is none of His.
Amen.
When you belong to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Of course, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit later. You should be filled many, many times.
Amen.
But you have to be saved. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. You have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is the defense and deliverance of the believers? Verse 20 and 21 of Jude. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You got faith, whether there's a pandemic, whether there's a virus, whether there's a sickness, whether the Democrat, whether the Republic, whoever's in office, whoever's in the chair, it doesn't matter about that. Your faith does not change. It's always the same. You can build up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes that's in tongues, sometimes it's in English, whatever it is. Praying in the Spirit. Sometime of our prayers. Now lay me down to sleep prayers. You can say prayers. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But it doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any power behind it. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you get somewhere because you heard somewhere in the air, higher above the air, somewhere in the heaven. Somebody is listening when you pray.
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't allow yourself to be overcome by the hate that's going on in this world. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
We have eternal life, and if you have eternal life, you've got everything.
Amen.
God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He has already seated us together with Christ in heavenly places. We get so burdened and bogged down with things on this earth. We need to lift up our head and say, well, I'm down here on this earth on my feet, but I'm seated with Him in heavenly places.
Amen.
I'm already in heavenly places with Him.
Amen.
Instead of asking the question, what shall we do to the Christians? Maybe you should consider being one of them yourself.
Amen.
The better question you may need to ask yourself is, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
That's what the jailer asked Paul. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I'll even give you a benefit. I'll save your household. Many households have not been saved. Some of them have gotten saved and they've been thrown out of their household. But they have a choice. I'll tell you what, they'll be more apt to get saved if you get saved than they were if you don't get saved.
Amen.
If you don't get saved, nobody's going to get saved probably.
Amen.
But if you get saved, they're going to have to make a choice. Either they'll come to Christ or they'll have to openly reject Him.
Amen.
This jailer, he got saved. He got right with God. The Word of God was preached to him. He was so excited. And his household. Whoa, what's, Daddy got saved. I think I better get saved too. This thing is all right. Somebody gets you up in the middle of the night and baptizes you in water, and you're saved, and sets a meal before you, you're eating in the middle of the night, and he washes your wounds and stripes off. Something doesn't happen in his life. Got saved, that's what happened. When you get right with God and you get born again, you get excited about Jesus, everything is different.
Amen.
The song said even the clover in the field looks much greener. The birds sing sweeter. Even your mom-in-law looks pretty. Everything is different when you get right with God. You're better to your wife, better to the husband, better to the kids.
Amen.
Even put up with the cat halfway. I mean, everything is better when you get right with God.
Amen.
It's better than saying, bup, 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 bup. It's a whole lot better than a cup of coffee. And the best part of waking up is not coffee in your cup. That's a good thing. But the best part of waking up is another day to serve God.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the encouragement that you have given us today. Because, Lord, we need a blessing. We need to be uplifted, and you have uplifted us in this place today.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, instead of saying, what shall we do to these men? How about saying, what shall we do to help these men? What shall we do to help the cause of Christ? And Lord, help us, help me today never to hinder the cause of Christ. Help me to forward the cause of Christ. Help me to be a blessing to the church. Help me to be a blessing to the cause of Christ. And never quench the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to fan the flames and stir the gift of God that lives on the inside. And help me to reach others for Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this message from Acts. The title has been, What Shall We Do to These Men? Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. You'll be glad that you're a Christian and follow Him. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.